WSNY Schenectady. It's 10:30 and club time.
The meeting is now in session. Good morning, everyone. This is Catherine Rich speaking for Dorothy Spira, your club time newscaster, and bringing you news and views of what Schenectady organizations are thinking and planning, doing and dreaming toward a better future for our community. Club Time is presented by Schenectady's Division of Adult Education. It is planned to help you and your organization do its job better and so make a greater contribution to our hometown democracy in our one world community. Now, first this morning, as usual, we have a few news items. That annual meeting of the Farm Bureau, Home Bureau, and 4-H Association will be held tonight, that's December 8th, tonight at 8 o'clock in the Rotterdam Democratic Hall, Duanesford Road. A pancake supper sponsored by the County 4-H Club Council will be served from 6 to 7 at 75 cents a plate. All members and the public are invited. The association program begins at 8. There will be a skit by the Home Bureau, special music, and the speaker will be Mr. E.H. Forbush, Secretary of Production Credit Corporation. There will be an election of officers for the association, the Farm Bureau Executive Committee, and the 4-H Club Executive Committee. This important meeting starts at 8 tonight. It is preceded by a pancake supper. Because of the coming holidays, the regular sewing for relief at St. George's Church will take place this Wednesday, that is December 10th, instead of the usual third Wednesday of the month. Sewing is done on new and used garments, and women of all denominations are urged to cooperate and assist in this project and to contribute clothing. Particularly, don't neglect these contributions just because you are busy with holiday activities. Remember, the people in Europe still need your help. The Councilettes, an affiliate of the Council of Jewish Women, are having a bazaar on Sunday night, December the 14th at 7:30 at Temple Gates of Heaven. Admission is 25 cents. Everyone is invited to attend. Gifts and refreshments will be sold at the various booths. And please don't overlook the broadcast tonight over this station of Religion in the News. That's from 9:15 to 9:30. And a book program will be presented tonight by Mrs. Robert Wiesman and Mrs. John Harper. And finally, I know you will be interested in the special exhibit called Greens as Christmas Decorations, which begins at the Schenectady Museum tomorrow and runs through December 22nd. It has been prepared at the invitation of the museum by the Monday Garden Club. The exhibit, opening at 1 o'clock tomorrow, will include a Christmas table by Mrs. Thomas A. Worcester and Mrs. Storm Eamon, an outside door by Mrs. A.F. Dickerson, and an overmantel decoration by Mrs. Frank T. Lewis. Mrs. Harry Winnie and Mrs. L.W. Butler will also show a variety of greens. And tomorrow night, the first day of the exhibit, at December 9th at 8 o'clock, Mrs. L.W. Butler will give a gallery talk on Christmas greens. Now, this morning, we have as our studio guest Mr. Victor F. Loskett, an accountant and economist at the General Electric Company. Mr. Loskett is also on the Economic Affairs Committee of the Citizens Council of Schenectady, and he has recently made considerable study regarding the food price situation. Some of this material was presented at a recent citizens conference, and we knew it would be of interest to a larger audience. So we have asked him to come here to tell us something about it. Mr. Loskett, I want to welcome you here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I wonder if you would like to begin by explaining how you came to make this study and the kind of research which has gone into it.
A few years ago, a group of businessmen and the Committee of Economic Development decided that they would forecast the economy after the war. Since that study was made in 1943, those men did not know when the war would end, so they had to use a general year, and they call that V plus two, meaning 2 years after victory. Well, we all know the war did end in 1945, and since this is 1947, 2 years after the end of the war, we decided to compare their forecast that they made at that time with the actual happenings of the economy today, to see where their forecast and the actual happenings are in variation and what was the cause and the reasons for those variations.
Well, that certainly is very interesting. So often we hear prophecies, but we don't find out how the prophecies come out. Well, now, in general, does your investigation show anything in particular about the cost of living? Does it show any one item to have increased out of proportion to others and out of proportion to wages?
Well, yes, it did. We find that the greatest variation appeared in the consumer expenditure field, that the amount that we American citizens are now spending for durable goods is approximately the same as was forecasted or the same that was spent before the war. The amount that we have spent for services is slightly lower, and we know that is due to the fact that rent controls have held down rents. However, in our non-durable field, we find there the large variation, and that entirely ties around the price of food. We are spending a great deal more for food now than was predicted or before the war.
I see. I think that most housewives will say that their practical experience checks very closely with the figures you have produced. Do you think it's possible for us to reduce our food bills without having an adverse effect on the health of the American people?
Yes, definitely, I think we can. But let us first see a few of the facts which tended to bring up the price of our food or bring about this high food bill. The first fact that is very important is the amount of foodstuff that we are shipping overseas. In the 1935-1939 period, we shipped approximately 3.5 million long tons of foodstuff overseas each year.
Sounds like a lot.
That is. However, last year, we shipped 18.5 million long tons.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot more.
You see, that is a 600% increase, and that is one of the important factors for high prices of food. The second is that we are eating more now than we did before the war. We find that before the war, the average American citizen ate 3,250 calories per day. However, now we are eating 3,450 calories per day, or a 200 calorie per day increase.
Mm-hmm.
And the third important factor is that we are eating a different type of food. We seem to go towards the more high-priced foods today than before the war. For example, we are drinking a pint more milk per person per week than
mm-hmm.
before the war.
Mm-hmm.
We are eating 8% less potatoes and beans, however. You see, we are going down along that type
Those
of food.
Those are the cheaper things, of
That's
course.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We are also, the most important is that we are eating 20 pounds more meat per person
that
per
much.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
That much more. Now we are eating approximately 153 pounds of meat per person per year, whereas before the war it was only 133 pounds. Since we are shifting towards the grain type of food, we analyze the grain situation of the United States and the world. And we find some startling facts there, too. Of the possible grain crop this year, which is estimated at about 6,000 million bushels of grain, we propose to feed 4,000 million bushels of grain to our animals.
That's two-thirds.
That's about two-thirds of our grain crop we are
mm-hmm.
feeding to animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the animal were an efficient converter, in other words, if it would take a unit of food value from grain and produce an equal unit of food value in meat, this situation would not be alarming. But we find that the animal is a very, very inefficient converter. And thus, we see that there is a terrific amount of our grain which is wasted in this conversion process.
I see. In other words, what you mean is that if we ate the grain as grain directly, it would be less wasteful than it is to feed it to animals and then feed it to ourselves.
Yes, that is right.
I see. Well, I wonder if you could elaborate that just a little more. That's extremely interesting.
Well, I surely would be glad to. We find that it takes approximately 6 to 10 pounds of grain to be fed to a cow or a steer to produce 1 pound of beef. For a pig, it takes approximately 4 to 5 pounds of grain to be fed to produce 1 pound of pork. However, the amount of grain fed is not the whole story, in that we are interested in the food value or the calorific value that we
mm-hmm.
get from
mm-hmm.
the meat. And we find here a little different story. For beef, approximately 9 calories are consumed for 1 calorie of meat that is produced. For milk, it is 6 to 1. Butter is the worst in that 40 calories
oh,
must
my
be
goodness.
Consumed
mm-hmm.
To produce 1 calorie of butter. A chicken is 18 to 1, an egg 13 to 1, and the pig is the most efficient converter, But even there, we find that 5 calories must be consumed for every calorie of pork. So you see, in the most efficient animal, we still lose 80% of our grain.
I see. And then you think that by altering our eating habits and using the grains directly and using meat substitutes, we really could make an effective attack on the problem of saving food and on the cost of living.
Definitely. To carry this point a little further, we asked a dietitian to prepare 2 alternate diets. The first contains the average amount of meat and butter and eggs that the American person is consuming today. And we find in the city of Schenectady at the present prices, that costs approximately $1.70 per person per day. We also asked her to prepare this alternate diet, which we call a low meat diet, in that it contains a minimum amount of meat. However, she was especially careful to see that all the vitamins and calories and minerals that we need were present in this meal. And we find that that cost approximately 90 cents at the present Schenectady prices. So you see, by shifting towards a lower meat diet, we could reduce our food bill approximately 50%.
Well, that would be a lot toward correcting that out of balance that you suggested in the beginning of the high price that foods are as compared with non-durable goods.
Right.
That's the thing. That is also directly in line with the National Food Conservation Program, isn't it? So I suppose if we could do this and change to eating a diet that was included more grain directly and other economical foods and less meat, we would be contributing not only to reducing prices, but we would also contribute to feeding the hungry people all over the world.
Yes, we would. If you recall, I said just a few moments ago that we are now eating 20 pounds more meat per person per year. To produce that extra 20 pounds, it took approximately 400 million bushels of grain. Now, we know the National Food Conservation Program was set up to make up a deficit of 100 million bushels, which the Department of Agriculture found that they were short. So you see, if we would only reduce our meat consumption to what it was before the war, we would have more than 4 times the amount that is required.
That is certainly something worth thinking about. I can see that you think we ought to be persuading Americans voluntarily to change their eating habits. You certainly haven't suggested doing by anything but voluntary means. Have you any ideas about how this might be accomplished?
Yes. I think the first thing that we must do is to show the American housewife the facts about meat, the terrific waste of grain that goes in the conversion of meat. And by doing that, by reducing her meat consumption, she would be doing 2 things. First, she would be feeding Europe, and secondly, she would be bringing down her cost of living. Now, the most important thing about this voluntary system is that no act of Congress is required. Each American, by doing their part, can do wonderful things.
Well, I think that's a very fine idea to end with. I think you've presented a very real challenge to our listeners as individuals and to their organizations who, I think, could get together and spread the information Mr. Loskin has presented and perhaps encourage each other to be a little adventuresome in planning their meals and accomplish the proposal that he has presented here. After all, in doing it, we can benefit others and we can certainly also benefit ourselves. I want to thank you very much, Mr. Loskett, for coming here this morning to tell us this story. I hope that many organizations will ask you or others in your group to carry it further. And now, here is Mr. Coyle.
You have just heard a regular broadcast of Club Time presented as a service to local organizations by the Division of Adult Education and brought to you 3 times weekly on the station. Today, Catherine Rich, speaking for Dorothy Spira, has had as her studio guest Mr. Victor Loskett, an accountant at the GE Company, discussing the food price situation. Listen again on Wednesday for another program in this series, and for information about submitting news of your organization, address a penny card to Dorothy Spira, in care of this station, WSNY, Schenectady.